The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So what does resurrection mean? Here we are, this second Sunday in Easter. We've proclaimed that he is risen. We affirm this. We believe it in our hearts. Our creed makes it clear that we are a community that holds this to be true. And so what does the resurrection mean? Well, I can promise you that I can't provide you a full accounting of what it means today, because we have the rest of our lives to keep reflecting and learning about what this means for our lives as disciples, as followers of Jesus. But our readings for today do provide a hint of what the resurrection does. It begins with a kind of community. Don't know if you caught it, but all of our readings locate our attention today and invite us to linger. This question of what it means to be community, the reading from Acts, "Now a whole group of those who believe were of one heart and soul. No one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything that they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace." Did you notice that? Great power and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to what was sold, they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. That is our first reading. So on this post-resurrection Sunday, we're invited to spend time reflecting on community, on what this good news, this proclamation, and I don't know if you caught it in the gospel reading, but the language of "we have seen the Lord" is precisely the language that Mary uses when she comes back from the tomb and tells the group of disciples, "We have seen the Lord." This becomes the proclamation that marks a community's sense of identity and also mission. We have seen the Lord. Mary's message becomes this sort of evangelion, the good news, that begins to permeate the rest of the community. Mary, the first evangelist sent out into the world to say, "We have seen him." And "we have seen him" means something. It has implications for the way that we gather. You see, the group in Acts, the community gathered in Acts, mind you, this is happening years after the resurrection. And yet the power of Jesus to gather and to invite a community to practice a love that is of both great grace and great power continues. And then, of course, the psalm. Almost, the scriptures, almost as if to tell us, this is something that marks community, a community that follows God. We can go all the way back to the psalm and really look at how God has been forming community throughout the ages, how good and how wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And there's this image, not only in the acts of sharing and caring, of an awareness of our neighbor's need, but also in the psalm, of a place where vocation is discovered, where the oil of joy and the anointing of God is shared among the people. So what does the resurrection mean? It points us back to what it means to be together, to what it means to follow Jesus. In the Acts of the Apostles, you get this countercultural community that calls into question the structure of social networks, of wealth, of value, of family, of love. Love was meant to be extended only to the nearest kin. Here, everyone is kin. Everyone is invited because everyone is cared for, because there is great grace and great power. A lot of people have used this passage as a way to advance a sort of socialist perspective on the way that the gospel, we're not talking about that here. We're talking about an awareness of the neighbor's need, but also an awareness and resetting of how we relate to what we own, of how we relate to what we have. That in the kingdom of God, it belongs to God, and it belongs to the neighbor, and we look after one another. It cultivates an awareness of the need around us and an impulse driven by this great spirit at work in our lives to step into the need of the neighbor and to recognize that the need of the neighbor may very well be our need. The need to let go of things in order to discover the freedom of giving all for the sake of the kingdom. And then our gospel lesson places us right smack dab in the middle of that small group of disciples who are behind doors. When it was evening, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you." This is the same Jesus, but different. The same miracle-working Jesus, stepping into spaces, going beyond barriers, removing all barriers. Unless we believe that this is the ghost Jesus, right, as the Gnostic belief, that's Marcion belief, that it was simply the spirit of Jesus. That was a controversy in the early church. Was it really Jesus that was crucified? No, many believe that it was just this apparition, you could say. But Jesus walks in and says, yes, I'm inside, but I'm also here physically. Touch me. Recall, we've been talking about Jesus, the one who said, I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified. But on the third day, I will come back to you. Well, here it is again. I am the one who is resurrected, who knows no barriers and no boundaries. But I'm also here. Touch me. See me. Look at me. Look at this physical body in front of you. Yes, it is the one that has walked with you. Lo, all these years, these 3 years, he showed them his hand and his side. It says the disciples rejoiced. I think this is pretty amazing. Peace be with you. And then Jesus says, so Father sent me, I'm going to send you. Just when you thought the victory was won, maybe we could hang out a while, maybe we just enjoy each other's company, Jesus says, no, 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 I'm sending you out into the world. And I'm giving you my spirit. It says he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. This is that promise that was given earlier in Mark's gospel of the spirit that is given to them. And it's interesting that the spirit that is given to them is not for walking on water, turning water into wine. It's not for any sort of massive feats, those are amazing feats, but to forgive. Why? Because to be the people of God in this world is to walk into those spaces that Jesus walked into and to speak the truth of God's love in the middle of those spaces where people may feel completely unworthy to hear this good news. Or where conflicts are locked because there is no sense of forgiveness. To be able to walk into spaces and proclaim the forgiveness of God, the reconciliation that has been brought about because of Jesus' work on the cross. Yes, the power to forgive and to retain. This is one of those interesting and most controversial pieces in the Gospel of John. In fact, I looked at most of the commentaries, and they only mention, well, you might want to go here to understand this, and this other scholar, and this other scholar. But I'm not willing to really come down and give a statement on this holding, forgiving, and retaining sins. The word is really to hold back, to forgive and to hold back. And some scholars believe that the call that Jesus gives the disciples is to proclaim that there is reconciliation available, not only with God, but with one another, but also to hold back those systems and powers that deplete the very beauty and grace that is what it means to be a child of God, to hold back those powers and systems that keep people from flourishing, whether it's concepts and ideas that marginalize and impoverish people, but also concepts and ideas that impoverish us. When we practice them, when we say they belong, but they don't. So to proclaim forgiveness, but also to be the people of God that walk into the world, and being people who walk into the world in the name of Jesus, we will cause a reaction, just like Jesus did. To practice grace is to care for the neighbor in a way that scandalizes society. To look after the needs of the neighbor in many ways may call into question our own family. Mom, Dad, what are you doing? Sometimes when my mom says, oh, I'm buying groceries for the neighbor down the street, I'm like, okay, do you know who they are? No, I don't. I just go over and I found out that they needed something. I was at the Veterans Center doing my exercises. I heard someone needed help. I'm helping them out. Okay, Mom, you're taking 2 buses to get there. Do you know who these people are? I don't, but I do know they have a need. Okay. That can scandalize a society that is so rooted in putting me first and never recognizing the grace that makes us a people, a community, called to be awake to the need of the other. So Jesus sends the disciples out. Proclaim forgiveness. I'm not giving you a superpower. You can't fly and you can't walk on water, but you can forgive. You can announce the forgiveness. And I need you to be part of what it means to make things right, because the Spirit will shed light on a world where things are being done to people that are evil. Be the light in the midst of that darkness. And then finally, we get this exchange between Thomas and Jesus. Because to be community, this has to land at home. They were with the door shut in someone's home. Jesus came, appeared to his disciples. Thomas was out and about. I don't know what Thomas is doing. I'm sure someone, maybe the Gospel of Thomas lets us know what's going on, what Thomas was out and doing, but no one knows what Thomas was doing. But he wasn't afraid. He wasn't shut in. He was out and about. When Jesus showed up, he comes back, and the disciples proclaim to him the exact words that Mary proclaimed and gave to the church. We have seen the Lord. And you know the story. It's the Doubting Thomas story. Second Sunday of Easter always deals with Doubting Thomas. But this is more than about Doubting Thomas. Thomas refuses to believe that Jesus appeared to them until he is able to touch and place his hands. Now, Thomas, you could say, was a rule follower. There was a ritual for ensuring that someone proclaiming resurrection, there was a ritual to follow, and that included, the word that's used in the Greek was to thrust, to forcefully touch, to grab. And so Thomas is following the rules. He's saying, wait a minute, I've been instructed in the way of God's people. There's a process here. This is too much. This proclamation? I don't know about you, but I think there are moments in life when what we have held for so long suddenly gets called into question, and the challenge is to step beyond our comfort zone, to go beyond what we're used to, quite possibly what we consider normal, quite possibly what we believe to be the settled idea on this, that, or the other. Thomas nevertheless holds on. And it says, 8 days went by. 8 days. And I think this is the point of the reading. It's not so much Doubting Thomas as much as it's about the community that stays with Thomas for 8 days, with his doubts, with his fears. You can imagine dinner time. The word in the Greek, the sense in the Greek for the disciples telling Thomas is they tried to convince Thomas. They didn't just tell him. They were arguing. But Thomas, we have seen the Lord. We saw him. And Thomas has nothing to do with that. For 8 days, a community let a doubter hang in there with them. No one cast him out. No one said, you're part of the original 12. Because I don't know if you noticed the gospel lesson. It says, Thomas, the one who was one of the 12. No one said to Thomas, it's over, buddy. I'm sorry. There's a door. You know, no doubters here. We've seen him. Everyone has seen him. I'm sorry. Exit, please, because we only have room for true believers right here. Have you ever been part of that community? You got to check the boxes right here, Thomas. In fact, we put together this memo, and it's, you know, pretty much explains, and we need you to sign at the bottom that you believe. Have you ever been part of that? That's not what justice looks like. Justice looks like this. And you need to sign on the dotted line. It doesn't look like fighting for the rights of the marginalized. It doesn't look like demanding that the gospel not be limited to one small slice of the larger body of Christ. No, it doesn't look like that. Thomas stayed with the disciples for 8 days, and the disciples stayed with Thomas for 8 days. I think the call for us is very clear, that we are the people of God called to linger with and be with and love on, even in the midst of questions and concerns and doubts. Let it be clear, All Saints of the Desert may be a refuge for many who sit here a Sunday after Sunday with doubts, with questions. Well, welcome. Welcome to this community where you can express your heart before God, where you will find great grace and great power for love. Thomas was there with them 8 days when Jesus arrived. Thomas, I'm here for you. Hi, everyone. I'm here for Thomas. Thomas, come here. Because Jesus meets us where we are. See this? Go ahead. I'm right here. I know what you need, and I've come to talk with you. What is the resurrection? It's about being the people of God that celebrates, that shares, the people of God that is open and aware of the needs of others, but also the people of God where forgiveness is practiced in those intimate spaces. Thomas, it's okay. We understand. We understand you have questions. It may be about Eucharist. It may be about our stance on this, that, or the other. It may be about our theology. Maybe about fill in the blank. Jesus shows up and meets us and connects with us and heals us. It may take time, and that's okay. And it'll challenge us as the people of God. And well, that's what great grace and great power mean. But we are all being raised in Christ, transformed by that love that goes beyond all barriers to meet us. Maybe that's where you find yourself today, finding that you've shut the door, but Jesus keeps coming in and saying, whenever you're ready to talk, whenever you're ready for healing, whenever you're ready, my grace and my love are here. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. Don't be afraid. There is great grace, great power, and great love. Amen.